dollar is worth less today than it was even last week. Before food prices skyrocket, trucks stop running, and stores close their doors, Survival Enterprises can help you prepare. They're master distributors of Mountain House freeze-dried food with up to a 50-year shelf life. Survival Enterprises has real...
Broadcasting to the U.S. and around the world by way of clear digital audio. 22,500 miles above the planet. This is the Global Star Radio Network.
Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and of course, for the next hour, hopefully, they're going to be the views of William Grigg. Are you there, William? Well, I guess not. Hopefully, they'll be getting him on the line very, very shortly. But William was, of course, formerly the senior editor of the New American Magazine, a magnificent writer, excellent speaker. And now, of course, he writes and has his blog, works for the Welsh Society, and we're privileged to have him on with us a couple of times every week as he analyzes what's really going on in the world. But before we get to him, and hopefully they'll be able to contact him and get him on the line, before that happens, let me just tell you a little interesting story, and that was that it was yesterday I pre-recorded a program with David Sibley. Now, David Sibley is Ready Reserve Food. He's the gentleman that if you put an order in with us, why, this is where you get your food from. And David's been at this game for, 20 or 30 years. He's owned the company himself for 11 years. And he and his wife, of course, know the food business pretty well. And so I was just asking him in the course of this program, this weekend program we were pre-recording, whether or not he has any real difficulty getting food. And he said, well, lots of times there are delays, but we'll always get it. I mean, they don't turn you down. They just say it's going to be a little while before we get it. And I said, well, that's very good. And he said, but, I think that down the line there's going to come a time when we're not going to be able to get food. And I said, well, that may very well be true. I really believe that we're going to see marked food shortages in America. We're seeing them throughout the world today. And certainly with the various insecticides and pesticides, which seem to be destroying the bees, and certainly the rust that's destroying the wheat crops all over the world, and the droughts that are destroying wheat crops and other stable food substances. The fact that, of course, in the wealthier countries, they're eating a lot more. They're developing food shortages, and there have been food riots at least a dozen countries throughout the world in the last few weeks and months. All right, well, it was so interesting that this morning David Sibley called me and said, Stan, you remember that conversation yesterday? I said, yeah. He said, well, he said, this morning I went out and I tried to buy a truckload of rice, I mean, for my regular distributor, and he didn't have any. He didn't know where to get it in. He said, I went to another major distributor, and there are only a few of them around the country, the major distributors for rice. And he said he didn't have any rice either, and didn't know when he'd be getting it in. He said, we're beginning to see those shortages now. Of course, he has rice. He bought a couple of truckloads. He anticipated this, so that if you do order through us, at least for the time being, why, there will be, you'll be able to get rice and most of the other things. There's shortages developing, though, in split peas, and so many of the food staples that we take for granted, food shortages are going to be developing, and it's going to impact on everyone out there. And just go back and read Revelation 6:8. And I look, and I beheld a rider on a pale horse, and Hades was with him, and power was given unto him to kill a quarter of the population of the world through the sword, and through hunger, and through pestilence, which is disease, and then through the beasts of the world. Are we going to begin to see this unfolding? I believe that the wicked people want to bring these things to pass. For as Barbara Marx Hubbard had said in the original version, which we will be glad to provide for you if you request it, of the Revelation, the Book of Co-Creation, there is a quarter of the world's population that will not evolve to a higher level of consciousness, and they'll have to be destroyed. But that is not your job, my dear. That is ours. Ours. Because we are the riders of the pale horse, death.
Hello, folks. This is Alex Jones introducing you to the incredible Berkey Solar Charger, your source for free solar electricity. This portable system is the size of a book when folded and small enough to fit into a briefcase, handbag, or glove compartment. The Berkey Solar Charger has been designed to power the Berkey Lights LED lamps, as well as other applications such as mobile phones, radios, digital cameras, and PDAs when electricity is not available. Its multi-voltage capabilities, multiple adapters, and rechargeable batteries provide for a flexible source of auxiliary backup power. Simply place the Berkey Solar Charger in the sun, plug in your application, and you have power. Disconnect your application, and the system automatically begins charging its own rechargeable batteries. Get the incredible Berkey Solar Charger for only $75 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. And tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's toll-free, 888-803-4438.
Imagine walking down the street and hearing footsteps behind you. They get closer and closer, and suddenly you have a sense something bad is going to happen. What are you going to do to defend yourself? Tebow Tech specializes in non-lethal self-defense products for you and your family. With everything from stun guns and tasers to personal alarms and pepper spray, Tebow Tech will arm you with the most advanced non-lethal products anywhere on the net. Not sure where to start? The Tebow Tech Essentials Package is great for you or to share with your family. It comes with a 950,000-volt cell phone stun gun, a multi-pack of pepper sprays, an extremely loud personal alarm, and a how-to book for defending yourself with pepper spray, all at a low price. With these or any of Tebow Tech's products, you have the tools to defend yourself against an attack and get yourself to safety. Don't be a victim. Be a victor. Stock up now. TebowTech.com. That's TebowTech.com.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the Genesis Communication Network, and now we have William Grigg. Hi, William. How are you?
I'm doing okay. It's good to talk with you today, Dr. Stan.
Well, I always enjoy having you on. Well, what are we going to talk about? We're going to talk about the economic system, and, of course, it really threatens the stability, not only the United States, but the entire world. What would you like to begin?
Well, we have to talk about that, and I do appreciate the fact that in the previous segment you brought up what's going on with respect to the food shortages, because that's perhaps the most pointed issue that most people can relate to here is the prices that people are having to pay right now for staple foods when they go to grocery stores or mega marts or big box retailers. Your local 24-hour supermart, of course, is usually stocked with relatively inexpensive staple foods, but those staple foods are becoming almost prohibitively expensive when you can get them. And I think the rice situation you referred to from your conversation this morning with your friend is a really good illustration of that. My understanding is that Australia's had a bad rice harvest, And so that created a sudden spike in the price, a sudden demand, and you have a sudden demand that can't be supplied. So shortages are playing a role, but you have shortages coupled with the overabundance of the medium of currency used to pay for all these products, which is the dollar. And we've been exporting our inflation, and the fact that inflation is global, and the food economy is global, and the global unit of measure that is considered the world's reserve currency, the dollar, is going down in value. That creates the types of dislocations that lead to food riots in those 12 countries that you mentioned. And people are feeling the pinch of it here in the United States as we go and try to stock our pantries and provide for our families. And it's not just, of course, what's going on with the shortages of the various foods and the overabundance of the dollar, but you see what's going on with gas prices. We had oil crest $115 a barrel last night in overnight trading in the futures market. And I noticed that just while I was out this morning getting some office supplies, that gas prices at the local convenience stores here had jumped over 20 cents overnight, to the point where we're over $3.50 a gallon here in western Idaho, which is where prices are usually more moderate than they are elsewhere. We have people come down from 10, 15, 20 miles away when they're driving their big SUVs or their big modified cab pickup trucks to fill up here in Payette, Idaho, this town of 7,000 people, because there is less local demand, and so there's always a bit of a better price here in Payette than there are in many places around this area. But yet, once again, in Payette and Fruitland, the city about 2 miles west of here, 2 miles east of here, rather, you had gas prices from about the $3.50 a gallon just this morning. They went up, like I said, over 20 cents overnight. We simply can't keep pace with that type of price inflation, and this is just the beginning of sorrows, whether you're talking about what we're paying for food or what we're paying for fuel, two things that are kept off the consumer price index by our masters. They want us to believe that core inflation is hedonically adjusted somewhere, I don't know, south of 3%, around 2% a year, which, of course, is the purest driven nonsense. But when you allude to that dire prophecy in the book of Revelation about the four horsemen of the apocalypse, it seems pretty clear to me that the four horsemen are saddled up and they're digging spurs into their mounts. And so it's a really good time right now, if you've got any kind of liquid assets at all, to be thinking in terms of providing for the necessities. We're going to be getting our tax rebate check, our stimulus check, sometime in the next 4 or 6 weeks. This is a good time to go out if you have the opportunity and plow that into something that you need. I've always talked about the worth of having some kind of hard assets in terms of gold and silver. I mean, that's by no means my unique insight, but this is a good time, of course, for somebody to have that type of tangible asset. But as somebody once pointed out, if you're talking about a situation of either an engineered shortage of food or the breakdown of an economy, you cannot eat gold and silver, and a bag of wheat is probably worth its weight in silver or gold in a circumstance of that sort. So if you have the means right now and you can find a supplier, this is a good time to be stocking up on essentials, and I'm glad that you provide that service for people, Dr. Stan, because that's literally going to be a lifesaver in more than a few situations that I can think of. I was just reading a couple of days ago about this former lieutenant commander at Annapolis, this female Navy officer who went into prostitution. She's somebody who was connected to the Palfrey case, the Washington, D.C. madam and the call girl ring. The reason she went into prostitution, she made $93,000 a year. She was the divorced mother of three children. She lived, of course, in Maryland. They lived in, I believe, Georgia. She was traveling every month to see her children and her ex-husband. She was also paying three mortgages on her house. Her house's market value was something like $160,000. She had $177,000 in three mortgages. She was overdrawn by something along the lines of $7,000 or $8,000 on the credit union that she belonged to as a member of the military. She had $58,000 in credit card debts on 20 credit cards. Heaven only knows how much more she owed in accounts with revolving credit and payday loans, check-to-cash, Shylocks, and people of that sort. So here's somebody who was driven literally into prostitution in spite of the fact that she made almost $100,000 a year and had a whole panoply of benefits, the likes of which most of us would give our IPs to have medical benefits, dental, eye care, things of this sort. All these things were provided for, and still she went into prostitution. And it's interesting, she was getting this lucrative salary as a food service specialist in the Navy. I just can't imagine a food service specialist in the private sector making that much and getting that cluster of benefits. But I'm talking about this by way of showing the really skewed priorities that a lot of people, I mean, she exhibits them perhaps to a Hogarthian extent, but those are the same kinds of priorities that have prevailed over the last 5 or 6 or 7 years when credit has been very easy, and it's been very easy to get yourself very deeply into trouble. And so right now, if you have the means, if you're not that deeply in trouble, if you're debt-free or nearly debt-free, if you're liquid, like most households in this country are not, take the opportunity right now while we have a decent interval, if you will, and go out and make sure that your family has the essentials to last for at least a quarter or two quarters or for however long you can manage, because we're reaching the point now where we have to be thinking in terms of putting one foot in front of the other and the rudiments of survival. You have to think that way right now before the crisis is fully upon us, because when the crisis is upon us, it's too late to do anything about it.
Amen to that. I agree with everything you've said, and I think that certainly the financial crisis, I think that we have a food crisis. I think we have a spiritual crisis.
I think,
of course, the one thing that we emphasize, although we talk about money, we talk about material things, we also emphasize the fact that if you don't have a proper relationship with the Lord, you're never going to get through what lies ahead, because I believe we're going to go into those times that will try men's souls.
Well, I believe it's the 8th chapter of the book of Amos, which is one of my favorite of the prophetic books in the Old Testament. There's reference made to the fact that the Lord would send days of famine, not a famine of bread or a drought of water, but a famine for hearing the words of the Lord. And that's not because the words of the Lord wouldn't be available. It's because people aren't listening. And so underlying all of this, of course, is the fundamental spiritual disproportion. People are too much wedded to this world, and hearts that are set upon the things of this world are hearts that must first be broken before they can be healed.
Agreed. So anyway, I think they're in for some very difficult times. More and more people are losing their jobs. I was fascinated reading of the latest international forecaster when we find that Levitt's Furniture is beginning to close stores.
Yeah.
We've gone to Levitt's for years. Great,
sure.
Great products. Zales Jewelry Stores are closing stores down all across America.
The Foot Locker.
Right.
The Foot Locker retail chain is, I think they're talking about shutting down 140 stores.
Yeah, man, Bombay, stores all across America. They're shutting them down. I mean, people are not buying the way they were. And it's amazing how quickly we've gone from an affluent society to a concerned society where people are cutting back. And although they're still going into the stores, you find out that the stores are having to give a tremendous sales and mark things down just to get people to buy.
Well, that's what happens anytime you have a recession. And, of course, recession is a relatively recent coinage to describe an economic contraction that used to be called a depression. You don't have to have a great depression to be in a depression economically. But a week ago, I did a radio commentary for a station up here, a Christian station in Caldwell, Idaho, talking about exactly what you just described, Dr. Stan, which is how these major retail chains that are really tent poles of the consumer economy are already starting to file for bankruptcy protection. I mean, even companies like Atari, that was one of the companies that was mentioned. One of the real bellwethers of the leisure economy would be video game and other computer-related entertainment products. And Atari has always been one of the flagship companies of that market. They filed for bankruptcy protection. Sharper Image, if I remember correctly, is another one that has filed for bankruptcy protection. Just yesterday in the New York Times, there was an article describing how retail malls across the country, shopping centers, and malls across the country are going to be reconfigured now very quickly by virtue of the fact that a lot of these companies that have been relied upon heavily to bring people into the shopping malls so that the other less notable companies can get some of the slop off, if you will, from the people coming to go to these big marquee stores. These malls are going to be reconfigured. I think a lot of them are going to be ghost towns by the end of next year, if not sooner. We've got shopping malls over across the border in Ontario, Oregon, the larger community, the sort of the hub of the local economy here, that have been closed down for years. It's really quite a spooky thing to see a completely deserted shopping mall. But I remember a few years ago when I was living in Wisconsin and seeing all this frantic commercial building that was going on, seeing people build out into the suburbs and build these outlying industrial parks and shopping malls and things of that sort. I remember commenting to my wife, Corinne, well, I think we're driving through a future ghost town, because when the credit bubble pops, people aren't going to be able to afford to come out here. They're not going to have the cash. They're not going to have the credit. And although I didn't anticipate it, a logical extrapolation would be, well, the price of gas is going to go up. People aren't going to be able to afford discretionary automobile trips of 10, 20, 30 miles a day because everything else is going to be so tight. That's another big element of what's going on right now with gas between $3.50 and $4 a gallon. Who really wants to be paying the additional expense of going out and buying something you don't really need to begin with?
Well, it's estimated that 5,770 stores are going to close. They're going to close this year. 5,000. That's going to have an impact on malls all across the nation. We'll be right back.
As the old saying goes, if you give a man a fish, you feed him for a day. But if you give him a Berkey system, you give him the ability to obtain purified water for a lifetime. This year, when giving Christmas gifts, instead of unwanted trinkets, give a meaningful and substantial gift. Berkey systems are ideal for every member of your family, especially the young ones in college. Unlike other water filtration systems, Berkey purifiers are portable. They require no plumbing, and the elements don't have to be replaced every 4 to 6 months. Perfect for anyone on a tight budget. And more importantly, if there's an unexpected emergency, your loved ones will be prepared. That's because Berkey systems are able to purify raw, untreated water. Check out our Christmas specials at BerkeyWater.com. With one of our quantity specials, you not only get a discount, but in one stop, you can get gifts for the entire family. That's BerkeyWater.com or call 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438.
Hi, this is Ted Turbolizard, and I am inviting you to the Great Freedom Rally on the West Lawn of the Capitol in Washington, D.C. on April 15th. This is being billed as a gathering of the Freedom Tribes from across the United States, and there will be many wonderful speakers and entertainers there from across the nation, including Dave Von Kleist, Will to Power, Ron Paul, Murray Sabrin, Wanda Case, Lakota Sioux Elders, and many, many more. Some of my favorites include B.J. Lawson of North Carolina and Dean Santoro of Florida, who, along with myself, represent a new breed of Republicans who will be speaking out for an end to the economic slavery of the United States people due to excessive taxation and pointing to a future of prosperity and faith in free market economics. For more information, visit gcnlive.com, taxdayzeroh.com, hauling.ronpaulroadshow.org, or grannywarriors.com. You can help sponsor this celebration by making a donation at grannywarriors.com, the organizers of this event. See you there in D.C. on the 15th.
Are the ancient prophecies being fulfilled? Are we living in the end times? Why do the Muslim nations want to destroy Israel, and why is the United States selling sophisticated military weapons to Saudi Arabia and the other Muslim countries? Why is the incidence of UFO sightings increasing, and why is that important? Well, you'll find the answer to those and many other questions in Lynn Marzulli's exciting book, Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural, because the book discusses the ancient prophecies and the supernatural force that's directing the course of world events today. You can purchase Lynn's book at www.spiraloflife.com. That's spiraloflife.com. And if you read Lynn's book, you'll never look at the world through the same eyes again.
Harness the power of nature's thunderstorm to make your home smell fresh and reduce the threat of MRSA, black mold, bird flu, and more. The EPA has stated that indoor air is up to 5 times more polluted than outdoors, causing 50% of all illnesses. Now you can protect your home and family with the world's best air purifier using technology developed for NASA. Our patented, proven system eliminates up to 99.9% viruses, bacteria, molds, mildew, and germs from surfaces, and covers up to 3,000 square feet with no expensive filters to replace. Nothing else compares to our product. See the independent laboratory test proving our technology at tryfreshair.com/safehome. Reduce airborne allergens and up to 99.9% of deadly MRSA, black mold, E. coli, and more on surfaces. Go to tryfreshair.com/safehome to order online or call 1-800-492-1073. That's 1-800-492-1073, 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern for our easy pay plan today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at the Genesis Communication Network. Our guest is William Grigg, and we're simply talking about what's happening financially. The housing market is simply collapsing. The house building market, the builders who have made such great money here during the inflationary spiral, many of them, of course, have got out on a limb. They borrowed a lot of money. They put in new housing developments and condominium developments, and of course, they're going bankrupt, having to sell at less than cost. And of course, we're beginning to see the financial industry. Financial industry is laying off an awful lot of people simply because the financial industry is in real trouble. Most of the banks, many of the banks have bought these, what they call toxic waste, these collateralized debt obligations, or the asset-backed securities, or the structured investment vehicles, and all of these things which are really so great, and then suddenly when people aren't paying their what they're supposed to be paying, why these bonds lose their value, and they become really, many times they'll lose 50 or 60 or even 70% of their value. So the financial industry is in real trouble, and of course this begins to carry over into people buying, and people are losing their jobs, and people are uncertain about the future. Will you pick up the story there, William?
Well, part of the story that we have to talk about here with respect to the employment picture that's really dismal to me is a finding that was published just in recent days by the Tax Foundation, which points out that we are in a situation now where tax consumers outnumber taxpayers 3-2. Tax consumers here being people who work for the government, and that means that they draw a salary that is provided by taxes, so they're actually not paying taxes so much as they're rebating a portion of what they make, or people who are wholeheartedly involved in the welfare redistribution state, people who are pure recipients of the largesse of others. That group taken together outnumbers those who actually pay taxes 3-2. Now, that would include people who don't pay taxes, don't make enough to pay taxes or get their taxes refunded to them. But that illustrates something about our present system that not many people recognize, and that is that the income tax system doesn't exist to provide the government with revenue, because through the relationship of the Fed and the miracle of deficit spending, all they have to do is inflate their way to provide revenue. If you can spend, if you will, deficit spend in excess of what you take in, then you really don't need to be hitting people up for income, because you actually steal the value of what they earn through inflation, which is the biggest and most insidious tax. But I think that's a very important part of the story, as is the finding that Paul Craig Roberts reported just a week ago, that for the first time in our history, government is the single largest employer, the largest source of employment in our entire society. We no longer make anything apart from regulations, litigation, debt, and porn. That's pretty much all that the American economy produces anymore. We import everything else. We've gone through what I consider to be a forced draft deindustrialization of our society, where we have essentially offshored everything that involves the manufacture of usable products, finished goods, and we have put ourselves in a position where even a lot of the jobs that involve retail or customer service have been offshored as well by way of telecommunications. And so what do we produce right now? Well, that's what we produce. We produce people who are involved in the frantic effort to redistribute the wealth that other people make, and now we find ourselves, those of us who are in the productive sector, outnumbered 3-2 by those who are in the redistribution sector. And I think it's interesting to note as well that in both inflation-adjusted terms and in real terms, once the exchange rate between the dollar and the euro and the other currencies is worked out, Americans are earning less than most of the other countries in the Western world. Bill Bonner, who's one of the best and most astute analysts of the economy, pointed that out just today in an essay he wrote for his Daily Reckoning newsletter. He points out, and I quote, "Since the end of the 19th century, Americans have earned more than any other group. But at today's dollar-euro exchange rate, many nations are already much richer than Americans. The average American earned about $38,000 last year, but the average person in Switzerland earned $64,000. In Denmark, the average salary was $62,000. In Norway, Luxembourg, and Germany, all had average salaries around $60,000. The Belgians earned an average of $47,000, And the French, yes, dear reader, the French are now richer than Americans. The average Frenchman earns $42,000 a year, as compared, once again, to the average American earning $38,000 a year. And bear in mind that when you're talking about an average salary of $38,000 for an American, you've got to remember that inflation has been eating away at the purchasing power of that $38,000 yearly salary. And, of course, the average, I don't know if worker is the right word, the average government employee makes more than that.
And he gets all the benefits. It's just wonderful to have a good government job. As they say,
exactly.
You know, that's good enough for government work because it's totally inefficient. But that doesn't matter. They have the power. They have the military. They have the police. And you better go along or you'll end up in real trouble. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Hello, folks. Alex Jones here, introducing Prudent Places USA, an interactive CD book that is your premier resource for hard-to-find information. Find out about everything from job migration to evacuation information, such as major bridges in disrepair and FEMA evacuation time studies for coastal cities. Zero in on man-made disaster zones, environmental areas of concern, and natural disaster zones. Find out everything from where to get water in an emergency to geographic income levels, housing prices, complete with over 3 gigabytes of detailed information on the 3,000-plus counties in the U.S., full-color photographs, 550 high-resolution full-color maps, and detailed information and analysis that you need. Order Prudent Places USA now for only $29, plus shipping, by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. And tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's 888-803-4438, or order online at berkeywater.com.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains 6 DVDs that contain 10 different programs, 2 books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S.
This is George Whitehurst Berry of the Genesis Communications Network. Have you ever wanted the truth about the economy? Crash, Are You Ready? Is the fastest growing program on GCN. Our one-hour program airs weekdays, Monday through Friday, from 10 to 11 a.m. Central Time, just after the Power Hour, and just before Alex Jones. To listen to rebroadcast 24 and 7, visit our website at www.hearitonline.com and click on the appropriate link. Our unparalleled guest lineup has included patriots such as Congressman Ron Paul, Scott Ritter, former UN Chief Weapons Inspector Murray Neal, inventor of the revolutionary dragonskin body armor, and Philip Torme, USS Liberty survivor. We also focus on alternative health and survival topics. Go to www.hearitonline.com. That's HEARITONLINE.com.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here, our guest is William Grigg. Before we go on, William, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get your blog site and how they can get copies of your book.
Thank you. The blog I write is entitled Pro Libertate. That's a Latin phrase. It means for freedom. And it's published between 3 and 5 times a week as my schedule permits. Matter of fact, I'm in the middle of publishing an updated column for my blog probably an hour or so after I finish the program here. And the easiest way to get to that blog is to go to the homepage of the Welch Foundation, for which I work as an editor at large. And the URL for that homepage is www.rightsourceonline.com. That's one word, rightsourceonline.com. The name of the homepage is The Right Source. The web address is simply rightsourceonline.com. There's no the in that URL. And it's a news portal, and it will provide you with not only stories and editorials, but also links to videos and audio features that we think are worthwhile. And at the top of the page for the Welsh Foundation, there's a banner ad for my book, Liberty in Eclipse, The War on Terror and the Rise of the Homeland Security State. It's about 300 pages long. It came out about 2 months ago. And it traces the development of the system that we're confronting right now, which is a fully functioning, albeit only occasionally horrifying, militarized police state and surveillance state apparatus. It's something which is a novelty in American history. We never had, previous to the last 5 or 6 years, a fully centralized and overtly militarized law enforcement apparatus that really operates under the presumed authority of an extra-constitutional dictatorial executive. I'm happy to report that there has been one step taken backwards from the precipice that I wasn't aware of until today. There was a measure passed in January or February that repealed, or at least partially repealed, the measure that was passed in September of 2006 and then signed into law on October 17th of 2006, which was the Warner Defense Appropriations Amendment that essentially repealed Posse Comitatus. That was a matter of some controversy because every one of the country's 50 governors, state governors, opposed this measure. It would make the President of the United States basically the owner of every state National Guard unit and turn them into his personal Praetorian Guard to be used hither and yon, sent hither and yon, and used as he saw fit as a domestic law enforcement agency. Pat Leahy of Vermont managed to insert language into a defense amendment that effectively repealed that measure. As to whether or not that's something that's going to be held up or simply ignored by the Bush administration remains to be seen, because we're in a period of history now where the President of the United States, through signing statements and simply through intransigence, ignores or presumes to repeal elements of laws that he doesn't like, as opposed to vetoing them, as he's required to by the Constitution, and simply write a signing statement that professes in so many words that he intends to violate a constitutionally appropriate piece of legislation that he signed into law. But that's a symptom of what I'm talking about when I refer to the Homeland Security State. And it's available, as I mentioned, through the website of The Right Source, and my blog is available as well. You go to The Right Source homepage, scroll down about a third of the way down the screen, look at the left-hand side of your screen, you'll see my photograph, and there's a link to my blog, Pro Libertate. And if I may, Dr. Stan, you'd mentioned just before the break that one of the reasons why the people who are our rulers in the government apparatus do so much better than we do is because they have the power, they have the military, and they have the police. And it's becoming very obvious now that we've entered a phase in our history where the people ruling us are not at all afraid of displaying that fact in full view of the public. There had been some reticence after the 1993 Waco disaster, which involved the immolation of scores of innocent people by the FBI. There had been some reticence on the part of the federal government to be quite as heavy-handed as it was becoming in the early 1990s under the first President Bush and the first few months of the Clinton administration. Of course, the Clinton administration ended with that smash-and-grab raid in Miami to grab Ilian Gonzalez to deliver him into the hands of Fidel Castro's government, so every once in a while it'll really manifest its true nature in a way that's quite memorable. Well, right now in Texas, we're seeing the outworking of something that I find to be completely reprehensible and quite shocking, and that is the abduction of 416 children from their mothers in this community that called itself the FLDS Church. And they're, of course, a source of scandal because they practice polygamy. They're a Mormon splinter group where polygamy is still practiced, and there is some concern that men are making so-called plural wives out of underage girls. That's, of course, a matter of some concern. But you have 416 children who were torn out of the arms of their mothers, literally torn out of the arms of their mothers at gunpoint, as a result of a military raid that was conducted by the Midland County Sheriff's Department using armor, that is to say, armored personnel carriers, body armor, heavy artillery provided to them by the Department of Homeland Security. The purported pretext for this raid was a phone call that they claimed to receive at a hotline from a 16-year-old girl named Sarah, who said that she had been forcibly married to a 50-year-old man as a plural wife, sixth or seventh wife, wife in this instance in quotation marks, and that she had had a child who was conceived when she was 15 years old, and that she was being routinely beaten and threatened with all manner of horrible things for her lack of cooperation. She supposedly called this hotline twice in the course of a couple of days in late March, and on April 3rd, there was a raid staged on the El Dorado, Texas community belonging to the FLDS population. Now there it's called the YFC, Yearning for Zion Ranch. There was no resistance put up by the members of that church at the other El Dorado complex. It's always referred to as a compound. That's bad news. When the media starts referring to your property as a compound, you know that there is an intent on the part of government to kill you. You know, you could live in a Quonset hut, you could live in a teepee, you could live in a cardboard shack, but it becomes an armed compound the minute the government decides it wants to stage an armed raid against you. Well, at this so-called compound, there was no resistance put up, and as soon as the child protection workers were on site, it was clear that they were going to grab the children away from the mothers in that community. And they were taken to a large facility. The mothers were taken into another room, supposedly to be told what they needed to do in order to clear everything up and get their kids back. Well, what they were told was, and I am quoting exactly, "Your children are ours." That's what these mothers were told by the officious bureaucrat who'd led them into this room. "Your children are ours." And they are now in the custody of the state government of Texas. And it is my firm belief, first of all, that there was no Sarah, that this was something invented as a pretext for this raid, the same way that we heard all kinds of extravagant claims being made about Saddam Hussein's weapons of mass destruction, or, if you want to go back to 1991, all kinds of things being said about Iraqi troops tearing Kuwaiti infants out of their incubators and hospitals once they'd invaded Kuwait. I think that the pretext for this assault on the FLDS community was as bogus as the weapons charges against Randy Weaver, or the claim that the Branch Davidians had been operating a meth lab on their property when the Branch Davidians were entirely opposed to not only narcotics, but also opposed to drinking alcohol. And I don't think there was a Sarah. I think that that was an invention made out of whole cloth, that the warrant that was used to justify this raid was based on a falsehood. The judge today, in the first hearing, reneged on her duty. Her duty should have been to demand of the child welfare department, that they produce the witness. They produce the witness within a firm deadline, or she'd void the warrant and throw the case out of court. That's what she should have done. That's what she's legally and constitutionally required to do. She didn't do that. She's the one who issued the warrant. Today she pretty much set aside considerations of whether there was a legal basis for that warrant, and she accepted evidence that was obtained on the basis of that warrant that may or may not be valid. So she's now pretty much implicated herself in what amounts to a criminal conspiracy. And that conspiracy was to grab the children, put them into a foster care system that is notoriously corrupt and abusive. Texas's foster care system is one of the worst in the country, and that's saying something. And they're doing so for money, because the foster care system receives federal subsidies on a per capita basis. The more children you get in that system, the more federal subsidies you get. That really is a thumbnail sketch of what the state is, the government that we live under right now. There was a facade of legality on the basis of a deliberate falsehood that was used to justify military assault on a community that, however eccentric or unappetizing you think their beliefs would be, was not a threat to the community, and there was no evidence that crimes were actually taking place within that community. And once the children were in the possession of the state informed the mothers that the children now belong to the government. And now they're in a position where they're probably going to be farmed out into the foster care system, where they face a real, tangible threat of all kinds of abuse or death. There are scores of children that die every year in that system. There are scores of children who are raped. Children of both sexes, I might point out, are raped in the foster care system in Texas. There are children who are underage who are impregnated by foster parents and who have children as a result. That's the same kind of thing that supposedly was going on in the FLDS community there in El Dorado. There are children who are poisoned. There are children who are mistreated in every conceivable way. As a matter of fact, there was a comptroller's report that was filed several years ago. The state comptroller in Texas in 2004 started to work on a thorough soup-to-nuts investigation of the foster care system to find out just how bad it was. She was allowed to conduct this investigation for about 1 year, a year and a half, before Governor Rick Perry of Texas slammed the door shut and wouldn't provide her with any more information, because she started to develop evidence about the extent to which all kinds of lethal violence and potentially lethal abuse is being inflicted on the children in that system. So you have the government steal children from a place where they were almost certainly safe, hold them now in detention, pending their delivery into a system where they're almost certainly going to be abused. That's the government that rules us today.
I'm afraid you're absolutely right. You were quoting the Senator Patrick Leahy of Vermont. And one of the things he said about, of course, the legislation that you were referring to, it not only allowed the president to seize control of the National Guard, but it did away with the Posse Comitatus Act,
yeah,
so that the U.S. military could be used against U.S. citizens. And Leahy, who is a left-wing radical senator, said, this is a blueprint for dictatorship.
Yeah.
And, of course, it wasn't picked up by the controlled media at all. But we are moving rapidly towards a military dictatorship, and it's time that people began to understand we have people in government who don't believe in the Constitution and want power over every aspect of our lives.
I believe it was Joseph Soberman who once said that the Constitution is no threat to our system of government, and that's because, as you point out, the people who are operating our government, the people who have been given power, particularly in the executive branch, when they are not completely ignorant or culpably indifferent to the Constitution, they're outright hostile to the Constitution. They're regarded to be quaint and vaguely offensive because the fundamental premise of the Constitution is that the powers of government are derivative and contingent. They come to the government as a gift of the sovereign people for the purpose of protecting the rights of the sovereign people and to do no other thing. And when those delegated powers are abused, they are revoked by the sovereign people. And, of course, the people who receive those powers from us, our agents, have now put themselves in a position where they believe that it is their duty and their privilege to allocate to us what they are pleased to call our rights. And they believe that our rights are contingent and revocable upon their whim. And that's how you get into a situation where some bureaucrat in Texas can look into an auditorium full of grieving mothers and tell them with perfect composure, your children are ours. I mean, that's the sort of a thing over which wars are fought. I mean, very rarely do you find a legitimate reason to go to war. A government that would steal your children from you is at war with you. And that's the way that things generally work in this country anymore. People don't pay attention to that. They're too obsessed over Osama's bowling scores or some other such matter of trivia rather than taking a look at the policies that people like Obama and Hillary Clinton. Hillary, it takes a village to raise a child, Clinton, and John McCain, who is, from all evidence, an utterly demented and deranged collectivist warmonger. People don't pay attention to what these people are saying by way of policy, and they're not paying attention to what the government is doing to us by way of the systematic assault on our rights. And now we've reached a point where, as we pointed out in an earlier segment, we have to worry about the fundamental rudiments of physical survival now. Will we have enough to eat? Will we have enough to afford the energy to maintain a relatively decent standard of living? Pretty soon, all these other considerations that we talk about in the political realm are going to be shoved aside for considerations of basic creature upkeep for ourselves and our families. So really, right now, people have no excuse, and they have no more time to dawdle. You know, right now is when people have to start getting ready for what is unfolding in real time in front of us.
And I think the other thing is that when we come out of the far end of this coming depression, it's going to be a depression with financial chaos, we're going to be one of two things. We're either going to be a free people or we're going to be a totally enslaved people. And I think that a time is coming when people are going to begin to listen to people like you and me, William. And, of course, there are hundreds of thousands of our listeners out there, people who've been in contact with you and me and others who are doing the same thing. And they're going to be saying, how do we get into this mess? And maybe they'll begin to believe that there really is a cabal that controls our country, whose dedication is to the destruction of America. And the things that have happened are not accidental, they're intentional. And the question is, are enough Americans who value liberty, who take a stand for it at the present time, or will America soon simply become a remembrance of things past?
Well, I'm hoping. I'm earnestly and ardently hoping that this will be a goad to people in such a way that it will wake them up, it will rouse them to look at what's going on, look into what we've been deprived of, you know, try to reconnect with our heritage would develop. I'm hoping that there's enough residual independence of mind in the American public that we'll go the direction you're describing. That's my source of optimism here. What'll be interesting to see is what will happen when the people who are used to subsisting parasitically upon those of us who are productive, they outnumber us 3-2 once again in terms of tax consumers versus productive people. What's going to happen in an economic downturn where some of these people are finally going to have to find some way to make an honest living, when making an honest living is going to be very difficult for those of us who are used to being productive? That's the element of the population that's going to be really interesting to watch, because at least some of them, having acquired the habits of plunder, working on the public dime, might go into that as a private line of work. That's what happened during the 30 years war in Europe back in the 17th century, when all these mercenaries who worked for the various kings of Europe, no longer having employment in that field, simply became roving bands of marauders. And that's how the piracy problem got started in the 17th century as well, when these privateers who plied the high seas on behalf of the various competitors decided to go into business for themselves. So, we might end up with a real situation of not only economic chaos, but moral chaos now. We're actually dealing with people who've been trained and equipped by the government as plunderers for the state, going to that as a private line of work. That's a possibility that really haunts my sleep. But the fact is, what we're talking about is unavoidable. Some really ugly things are going to be happening very soon, and they're already starting to happen. We can see the foreshadowing of some of them. They're like the book of, I believe, 1 Kings says, they're a cloud on the horizon the size of a man's hand. So right now we got to get ready before that cloud envelops us. The deluge begins.
Well, I agree with you totally. I think that we're in very difficult times. Our guest has been William Grieg. We're entering a period of chaos and crisis. And, of course, let's hope, of course, this will be an opportunity to reach people across the land. It's going to be up to those of you out there to learn and to help us reach the American public with the truth. We'll be right back.
Through the years of providing water filters to America, you've come to us and we've listened. You asked us to make the water level visible to eliminate the guesswork when refilling the water. We listened. You asked for an elevated base so the system could be used in places beside on the edge of the counter. We listened. You asked us to develop a filter that was made in the USA. We listened. You asked us to include an emergency light for camping and during power outages. We listened. After 9/11, you asked us to develop a filter that was more powerful in removing chemical agents. Again, we listened. Introducing the Berkey Light, the gravity filter requested by America, designed by Americans, and made in America.
Get the Berkey Light, the American water purifier, only $279. Call New Millennium, 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438, or order on the web at berkeywater.com. Not yet available in Iowa.
Some people believe a group of wealthy men control political parties, the American media, and the wealth of our nation. Is this true? Dr. Stanley Monteith spent 40 years studying secret societies and subversive movements. He lived in Africa for 3 years, and when he returned home, he studied the writings of the men who shaped the modern world. His book, Brotherhood of Darkness, identifies the people who control the world and the organizations they created. Dr. Monteith exposes the movement behind Rhodes Scholarships, the origin of the Council on Foreign Relations, and the myths surrounding communism. He discusses the goal of all covert organizations, so if you read Brotherhood of Darkness, you will learn a secret that has been passed down through the centuries. When you learn this secret, you will understand what the future holds and what you must do to help preserve our nation. Call and order your copy. 877-300-7645. Only $12.95. That's 877-300-7695.
My cracked heels were always my nemesis. All my life, I've had dry heels and rough, thickened skin on the soles and sides of my feet. Then my podiatrist told me about Calyx ointment. I am amazed how fast and efficient this product is at softening the hard spots. Since using Calyx, the split and cracked skin on my heels is gone, leaving them smooth and healthy looking. I'm so grateful and no longer embarrassed in sandals. If you have dry, cracked feet, I recommend Calyx ointment. You'll find it in the foot care section at drugstores, mass retailers, and supercenters.
Are your Federal Reserve notes looking for a safe haven? Mine found it in precious metals. Not paper promises, but actual gold in my possession. It is liquid, it is private, it owes no one, it cannot go bankrupt, and it maintains its purchasing power. Find your answer at Midas Resources. That's 1-800-686-2000. 1-800-686-2237. The answer is at 1-800-686-2237.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network. I hope you enjoyed William Grigg. He's certainly one of my favorite guests. Well, let me simply point out we have a great new talk. It's on DVD. It's called The Planned Police State, and there is a planned police state. There are people who want a dictatorship in America. And, of course, the talk comes with a syllabus that will give you the documentation. They're building the concentration camps. The plan's been in place for a long time. You'll see the Iran-Contra hearings back in 1988 where Congressman Jack Brooks tries to bring out the fact that there is a plan brought about under the Reagan administration with the help of Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North. Oh, my goodness, that great patriot. A plan to suspend the Constitution and round up Americans and put them into concentration camps. Ladies and gentlemen, this is long-range planning for where we're moving today. My talk, Planned Police State and the Syllabus, there's nothing quite like it out there. And then, of course, we hope that you'll want to get my talk on the Forbidden Secret, because it will take you behind the scenes into these organizations that have been around for thousands of years, always working towards the same goal, the one world government, the one world religion, and, of course, the one world leader. But now it's coming to fruition at our time. That's the Forbidden Secret, the talk, and the syllabus, which we recommend very strongly that you get with it. And then, of course, we do hope that many of you will want to get William Grigg's book. We actually carry it. It's called Liberty and Eclipse. Liberty and Eclipse. It's not very expensive. It's an excellent book, because liberty is an eclipse. We're going to lose our freedom unless there are enough Americans who have the courage to take a stand in times like this. And you're going to have to get out on the streets, corners, and let people understand that President Bush doesn't believe in the Constitution. He issues shining statements that says, I'm not going to obey the Constitution. I'm not going to obey these laws that have been enacted by Congress and I've signed, because, of course, I'm above the law. They're going to move us, and everything points in the fact that we're moving towards a war with Iran. Why would they want to do that? A great distraction, ladies and gentlemen. A great distraction, so we won't realize that while our boys go overseas to fight for democracy and freedom, we're losing freedom here at home. This idea of democracy, as Plato said, democracy passes into despotism. Democracy passes into despotism comes from Plato's Republic. You will find the quotation in Bartlett's quotations. Understand, ladies and gentlemen, this is long-range plan. We are not a democracy. We are a republic. But as Fisher Ames said, every step towards democracy is an advance towards destruction. Liberty has never yet lasted long in a democracy, nor has it ever ended in anything better than despotism. And, of course, you know, James Madison said, in the Federalist Papers, and of course he was referring to democracy, he said, democracies are air spectacles of turbulence and contention, are air incompatible with personal liberty and private property, and are usually as short in their lives as they are violent in their deaths. And the level of violence is increasing in America. We have 7 million Americans in prison, probation, or parole. This is not happening by accident. It's happening by intent. We're moving towards a police state. So remember our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927, or 1-800-5-HIV-WARM. If you have not yet laid in your supply of long-term storage food,